today. We come to the most important time in the service. The Word of God goes forth, and then we respond to the Word of God with faith. Amen. I want to minister to you this morning the Word of God. It is so rich and powerful. I love the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Luke 14 and verse 16. The book of Luke, chapter 14 and verse 16. And then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That's always been humorous to me. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And my message today is simply this: unlikely guest. Unlikely guest. Can we bow our heads and pray? Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch us right now, that you would minister to us by your word, Lord, that you would at the same time, that you would challenge us and that you would give us hope. Lord, I pray that you would minister your word today, right now, Lord, that you would use me as an oracle of your spirit, Lord, that I, in my very frail way of speaking and understanding, that you would use me, Lord, help me to speak the words of life today. In the name of Jesus. Oh, could we put our Bibles down and put our hands together for the word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Unlikely guest. What a very powerful and poignant story that we have read today. It is a parable, Jesus Christ. And he is representing the kingdom as a great supper. As we understand in Scripture, it refers to him very often as the bridegroom. It talks about there being a door, and it talks about there being the bride, the espoused, that is waiting outside the door for the bridegroom to open. And in fact, the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and 5 foolish, they are about the bridegroom coming and opening the door, and the 5 went in, but the 5 that were foolish were lost, and they were on the outside. And so he uses this metaphor, this analogy in many, many places in Scripture. And so here he is. He is representing it again to those that were following him. And he was letting them know that there is an opening for anyone that is hungry today. The Scripture says that whosoever will, let them come and drink. Let them come and feed. Let them come and be a part of the kingdom of life. And so he says, a certain man made a great supper, and he invited many, the scripture said, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. Apparently, they didn't get the memo that you're supposed to come early to be on time. It's kind of the way I feel every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Please, I've worked hard, I've studied. Anyway, that's another story for another day. Praise God. But he sent them out. He sent the servant out at supper time. He said, look, it's time to come. This is when you're supposed to be here. All things are ready. I've prepared it for you. It's beautiful. It's perfect. It's ready. It is set. But then they all with one consent, they all said that they had excuses. We hear so many excuses. I've heard some crazy excuses in my life. Praise God. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go see it. Help me, let me be excused. The other said, I have five yoke of oxen and let me go prove them. Let me be excused. Another said, he married a wife. And he didn't even make excuses. He said, I just can't come. Apparently, he thought I married a wife was self-explanatory. I don't know exactly why, but you'd think he would bring her to the dinner. Amen. She could be his plus one for this great dinner. But they didn't come. But God, this certain man, which is a symbol of God, he told the servant, he said, okay, well, if those that have been invited, those that were royal enough, those that were religious enough, those that were good enough, they don't want to come, then I want you to go back out and I want you to invite some others that may not have thought they were on the guest list. They may not have realized, they may not have understood that I wanted them to come. And so I want you to go into the streets and lanes of the city, and I want you to bring me the poor, and I want you to bring me the maimed, those that are not whole in body, those that are halt, those that are struggling in their health, those that are blind, and I want you to bring them into my house so that my house would be full. And so the servant says, I have done that, master, and there's still room. And he said, so, okay, I want you to do one more thing. I told you to go into the streets and the lanes, and I wanted you to get the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind, those that maybe society did not want, and those that society didn't want to bring in. I want you to let them know that they're welcome. But now I want you to go back, and I want you to go into the highways and the hedges. And what this represents is not just those that may have felt unworthy, but those that were very unworthy. The highways and the hedges are where the robbers and the thieves were. They were where the degenerates of the society were. They were the people that you didn't want just to bring in. You know, there's some people that don't have a lot and you want to minister to them and you want to love them. And then there's some other people you're like, oh, I don't really know if I want you in my house or not. Right? And so the kingdom said, hey, whosoever will, let them come and drink from the waters of life freely. So not only do I want those that are maybe struggling out of something of their that they didn't have control over. They were either born that way or they were injured along the way somewhere and they really didn't have it all together and they struggled. I want you to make sure that they know that they can come in. And then I want you to go back out and I want you to get those that have made the decision in their life. They have chosen to be bad. They have chosen to be evil. They have chosen to live the life that they are living. And I want you to tell them that they're welcome too. That my house may be filled. And so here I want to preach to you today that this dinner was filled with a bunch of unlikely guests. They are not the first ones that you might have put on the list today. They're not the first ones that you would have said, hey, let's send a wedding invitation to this person and that person. They were not high on your list, right? When you're making a list like that, our graduates, we had a lot of graduates this year. You always want to make sure you send an invitation to those people in your family that live in a little bigger house, you know. Make sure they remember that their little cousin, their little nephew, their little niece is graduating. So you make sure to gather as many gifts as possible, right? So you have those people, they're priority people. They're VIPs. You put them on the list first because you get the most from them. But God wanted us to know that the kingdom, this feast, this great supper that he has prepared is for whosoever will. It is those that have fallen into a hard place in life, and you may not feel worthy today because of your circumstance. Maybe your mom and daddy didn't have everything that you thought they should have, and maybe you don't know who your daddy is, and maybe you never lived with them together in the same household. Maybe everything hasn't been exactly the way you want it to be, but oh, I want you to know today that the table is set, and whosoever will, let them come and sit at the great supper today, because there are some unlikely guests here, and you are welcome just like anybody else. Because when we get to the cross, it doesn't matter what your name is, it doesn't matter what kind of car you drove up in, it doesn't matter what kind of job you have, it doesn't matter if you have a house, a trailer, or an apartment, it doesn't matter if you live with somebody else. I want you to know that God says you're equal. You're all at the cross at the same time, and he wants you to come. Amen. Amen. However, there is a powerful warning in this same passage of Scripture. So it's not only an open door, but it's also a warning to those that are too religious for the things of God. They are the Laodiceans of the church. They are the people that just come when it's convenient. They worship when it works, and they give when they have it, and they commit when they can, and they come and when it's comfortable to them, and they stay away when it's easier than to come. There's a church of the Laodiceans. There's people that, what was the Laodiceans? It was the church in Revelation that the writer was told to write to. And he said, I want you to tell them that you think that you are rich, that you're increased with goods, and that you have need of nothing. But really, you are poor and naked, and you are needing. You're needing what you think you already have. He said, I wish that you were cold or hot. What do you mean by that? He said, I wish you were all the way in or all the way out. Because those people that are in the middle, that are just lukewarm, they're playing around the shallows, they can convince themselves, right? They can convince themselves that they're okay. Amen. I've used this analogy before, but there's a way I can look in the mirror to convince myself that I'm not bald. It's funny, I know. Your day's coming, Brother Jordan. It's coming. But you know, I look at myself straight on. I comb my little hair and I swoop it back and I think, man, for an old guy, you're looking pretty good. But then somebody takes a picture or posts a video of me, and I turn, and boom, there it is. Right? I told somebody I was going to start preaching that we needed to wear the little yarmulke thing. I think that's where the Jewish men came up with that. They were trying to cover their bald spot. It's just the perfect size, you know. It's perfect, right? Some of us would need a little bigger one than others. Maybe they have different sizes. You know, they grow over time. You know, eventually you just kind of have a whole cap, skull cap. But I could convince myself that I have hair. There's a way that you could stand, you know, that you could convince yourself that you don't have the middle-aged stomach, right? You can wear certain things to camouflage it, but it doesn't make it true. And so many times we think we've got it all together, but our lifestyle says something different. The Laodiceans were lukewarm. They thought they had it together. They thought they were religious. They thought they were blessing God. They thought that they were blessed of God. And yet the Bible says that they were poor and naked and hungry, and they had no idea that they were lost. He said, I would rather you be cold and know that you are struggling. And know that you need God and know that you are lost. But you are lukewarm and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And so there's a warning in this scripture that it opens the door in a good way for those that are hungry and those that may not feel worthy today. But it also closes the door to those that say, hey, I don't really need to come. I've got other stuff that is more important. But there are unlikely guests. And here's the warning. Here's the warning for us today. If you want, somebody will. If you're not hungry, somebody is. If you don't want a ministry, somebody does. If you don't want to be accepted, somebody can't wait to be accepted. If you don't want to grow in the Lord, somebody else really does want to grow in the Lord. If you don't want to be a part of what God is doing, there's somebody that will. The gap will be filled in. The void will be taken over by those that are hungry. And God doesn't care what kind of state you come through the door. You could be poor. You could be maimed. You could be halt. You could be blinded. You could even be evil. He doesn't care because the gospel is able to transform whatever you come in as. You could come in poor and he can make you rich. Not literally, but rich. He increases your goods. You could be maimed and he can heal you or you will be whole. You could be halt and he will heal you to be whole. You could be blind and he will open your eyes that you might see. Or you could even be evil. You could have things in your life that you're ashamed of. But the religious he will reject today. Israel was rejected and the Gentiles were grafted in. Why? Because they thought they were so religious that they could not be lost. But those that were hungry were grafted in. Those that were hungry, that had nothing, that had no claim to fame, that had no claim to God, they were grafted in. Why? Because they said, hey, I have nothing, but oh, I need everything. I need you. And I want you to know today that hunger will trump tradition every time. Oh, but wait a minute, Pastor. My parents were in this thing. My daddy was a preacher. My grandpa was a preacher. Well, if you're not hungry for it, you won't get it. It doesn't matter who your daddy was. It doesn't matter who your grandparents were. But the hungry are going to take your place if you don't get hungry on your own. If you don't show up on your own. I want you to know, hear the warning today. Religious. Religious. Religiosity and religion will not save you. But blessed are the hungry today. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. It is time for us to search our hearts and to strip away every pretense. It is time for us to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with the righteousness of God. So many are so self-righteous that they can't even worship God. They're too busy. They're too busy worshiping their own works, their own achievements. Oh, hear it today. God judges the self-sufficient. God judges the self-sufficient. Laodicea was not hungry for the things of God. They felt they had it all. They were going through the motions. God said that though they thought they had it all, they were really wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were weighed in the balance and found lacking. They were not hungry for the things of God. But this morning, let me tell you, tell the hungry today, the door is open. The servants are saying, hey, come on in. Come on in. You say, who, me? Yeah, you. Well, but you don't know who I am. You don't realize what I've been. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. That's all right. Come on in. The house of God is for whosoever will. Let them come and drink from the waters of life freely. There's an amazing story in the book of Esther that really has little to do or nothing to do with Esther. Esther's a great book. It tells a wonderful story. She came to that place at such a time as this. All that was powerful. But Esther 1 and 3 tells an amazing story. It says, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and servants, the power of Persia and Media, and the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. He showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, this is the king, and honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 180 days, a long time, 180 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present at Shushan the palace, both unto great and small. 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white and green and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple and silver rings and pillars of marble, and the beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. This is an odd story here. Just gives us a little bit of history. It says for 180 days, he invited all the priests and the princes of all the provinces. They were the royalty of that day that were welcome to come into the palace for 180 days. And then he stopped that party and he started a new party for 7 days. And for those 7 days, he invited everyone that was without the palace to come in. And so he showed them things they'd never seen before. Can you imagine coming from the dirty, dusty, surrounding place of Shushan the palace to walk into this place of marble on the floor and on the walls and the pillars and the beds? It says beds. It's not a bed like you talk, like we sleep in. It's a bed like a couch, like a lounging couch, was made of gold. The hangings on the wall were beautiful, fine linen, and they were hung with rings of gold and silver. Can you imagine what these people saw for the very first time? And more than that, each one of them was given a vessel of gold. And so when they picked up their vessel and they clanged it together with the person next to them, there was no two alike, the Bible says. They were all diverse. Every gold cup was different. And there was no limit on what they could drink. There was no limit to what they could consume. It was all according to their own desire. And so here we are. You know, sometimes we get this misconception that the ministry and the things of God are for the holy and the smart and the beautiful. But that's pretty obvious with me up here. That's not true. We get our thought that the ministry is something so different, but you know what? This is a kingdom, this is an economy of the hungry today. The vessels that you've been given is not something you hold in your hand, but you are the vessel. And you're different. You're different from me. There's different heights and different sizes and different ages and different genders. And we're all here together in this place, and everyone has a different vessel. But guess what? The commandment is the same. Whether you've been here for a long time or whether this is your first time through these doors, the commandment to the servants was to give them as much as they want. Don't cut them off. Don't say you've had enough, but you give them as much as they want. And so here today on this Friends Day Sunday morning, let me tell you today, you are diverse from me. You are different colors, you're different heights, you're different ages, you're different backgrounds, you're married, you're single, you're older, you're younger. It doesn't matter who you are. You are a diverse vessel today. But oh, the servant of God is here today to tell you that all the supply is unlimited. There is no end to what he will give. If you are hungry today, you can get as much as you want. You can get as much as you want. You can get as involved as you want to be. You can dig in as far as you want to dig in. You can swim out as far as you want to swim out. God is here, and it's whosoever will. Amen. Brother Ben, come. Let's stand this morning. God always reached to a diverse crowd. He told the disciples that were Jews, he said, I must needs go to Samaria. And I'm sure they thought, why would anybody want to go to Samaria? We don't want to go there. It's not on our way. We don't want to meet a Samaritan. They're dogs. They're not worthy. And yet he said, I've got to go. And so he gets there and he sends them away because he knew that they're prejudiced. Listen to me. Jesus gets to Samaria and he stops at the well and he sends his disciples away because he knew that their religious nature, their tradition of being a Jew, was going to get in the way of him reaching to a Samaritan. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And so he sends them away. And the woman comes in the middle of the day because she's ashamed to come in the cool of the day with everybody else. She comes by herself to get water, and he has this discourse with her. He reveals to her all of her heart and all of her past, and he reaches to her. He said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And so what does she do? This Samaritan woman that was very unlikely to be in the presence of God. She was so overwhelmed by it that she ran back and she told all the city. She said, hey, you got to come. You got to come. I know I don't normally talk to you, and I know you sure don't normally talk to me, but you got to come. There's a man out there, and he told me everything. I didn't even know who he was. He didn't know me, but he told me everything. And the Bible says that she gathered all those people, and they started coming. And by the time she got back, the disciples had come back to the well, and he said, lift up your eyes, for the field is white unto harvest. One wicked woman. She'd been married 5 times and was living with someone else. She was an unlikely guest. But he gave her water. David's army, the Bible says, listen to this. Everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt, come on now, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. And guess what these men are called now? These discontent, these indebted, these distressed men, they are now called mighty men of valor. Okay, I close. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know that? All these terrible people have no place in the kingdom of God. And then verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the Lord Jesus. Guess what? There are people in this house that you would not believe their past. There are drug addicts that sing on this platform. There are alcoholics, former alcoholics, that wait on you for your offering and your tithe. There are teachers in our Sunday school class that have a background that they would be ashamed to say out loud. But guess what? When God gets a hold of you, such works, some of you. This table this morning is filled with some unlikely guests. Oh, we didn't have the right name. We didn't have the right pedigree. We didn't have it all together, and we may still not have it all together. But oh, the table is set for whosoever will come. And if you're hungry, it's here. If you're thirsty, it's here. Woo! Hallelujah! The reason you don't recognize it today is because some of these people, they don't look like where they came from. Oh, come on. The reason you don't recognize it today is because we don't look like what we've been through, but it's because God was in the fire with us. Woo! Come on now. When God comes in, He transforms you. He changes everything. He doesn't just sweep it under the rug. He doesn't just spray cologne on the dirt. Come on now. When the three Hebrew boys came out of the fire, the Bible says that they were not singed. They weren't burnt. And here is a greater miracle than that. The Bible says that they didn't even smell. Have you ever gotten anywhere close to a fire? You will smell like it all day long. You fry something in your kitchen, your hair will smell like it, your clothes will smell like it. You go out to the grill and you grill, you could be in the great outdoors. But when you come in, you're going to smell like that grill. But they went in the fire, 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be. And they came out and they were not burnt. And the Bible says they did not even smell like fire. So look around you. There's a great cloud of unlikely witnesses, unlikely guests today, that they were this and they were that. But oh, now we are redeemed. Now we are washed. Now we are justified. I'm not that anymore. But all things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Yes. As we open this altar today, before you come, let me tell you, if you're here today and you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I want you to know that it is not spooky, it's not mysterious, it's not any of that. He's already paid the price so that He could be in you. All you have to do is come to Him in faith. The Bible says to repent of your sins. It's not just to say, I'm sorry, but it's, hey, as you come down here, you're saying, I'm making something new in my life. I'm changing. I was going this direction, but now I'm going His. And when you come down and you repent, you lift your hands and you begin to worship out loud with your mouth, and before long He will fill you with His Spirit and you will begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Nobody's going to teach you. It's just going to flow in you. The Holy Ghost is going to pour in you like a cool drink of water pours into a glass. And then if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, first of all, you need to. If you're not sure if you were baptized in Jesus' name and you remember being baptized, you need to be baptized again. If you don't believe me, read the book of Acts chapter 19. They were rebaptized in the name of Jesus because there's only power in Jesus' name. No one in Scripture was baptized in any other way but in the name of Jesus for salvation. And so this altar's open. If you're hungry, if you've already been redeemed, if you're hungry for more, God loves the hungry. God loves the hungry. He loves those that say, here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Here's my life. I don't want to be empty anymore. I don't want to tread water anymore. I want everything you have for me. Oh, I know I'm an unlikely guest today. I know I'm unlikely to be here, but you said I could come. You said, whosoever will. Oh, let's come. Let's surrender ourselves to the Lord again. Let's open our vessel again. Let's open our vessel. Oh, God. Oh, this is our one shot today. Let's give it. Let's give it all. Let's don't leave without getting everything. Let's don't leave without being full of the Spirit. Let's don't leave without Him washing us today. Oh, yes. Yes.